All right, we have been looking at evolution, looking at it from the scientific point of view, that is, finding the, there is this illusion. In fact, one of my students at Heritage left and got involved in some rather scientific endeavor, and kind of rejected creation. And he said, wrote back to his family, he said, are we supposed to think that every single scientist that holds to evolution is just wrong? And the idea is that here are scientists who study things out, and they've studied it out, and they came out on the side of evolution. See? It's just not true. These people don't study it out. Now, the ones who do reveal a great deal of things to us. And that's what I'm sharing with you. Now, I left my thumb drive at home. But this is just a bunch of words. So listen the best you can. What I'm doing is quoting from scientists who come to this. And what we're looking at, organic evolution is the evolution of life. Organic evolution has never been observed. It is not being observed now. It never has been. How is this scientific, see? And we're looking today, number six, at mutations. We talked a while back about the idea about use and disuse, where it was the old idea that if you don't use, if an animal being doesn't use something over a period of generations, it will reduce and go away. But that's just fairy tale. There is no mechanism in our bodies for use and disuse. I had read someplace that the little finger is little because it's not used as much. Sort of say the other way around, wouldn't you? We don't use it as much because it's the little finger. The idea would be then that over the generations we would lose that finger entirely. Not happening, see? Because the body cells, the somatic cells, do not carry use and disuse into the next generation. It is the genetic cells that we have to work with. So what they've said is, well, the changes, and there are changes in genetic cells that happen because of basically cosmic rays, little particles, unseen particles that come down and bombard us, and it bombards us at the molecular level, and so sometimes the DNA gets battered and changed, and we see that. We were talking about that in the laws of change in life, and so a family might have blonde hair and brown hair, or they might have blue eyes and brown eyes and other things. My eyes were always called hazel. It looks like it's sometimes green, sometimes blue. But the thing is that those changes happen. We see them when people breed dogs smaller and smaller and get into these toy dogs that they can keep on their lap and so on. But that's different from mutations. Mutations are random and accidental, and just who knows what's going to happen, see? So they have pinned their hopes of evolution, the fact that things will change, and when the mutation happens to be advantageous, it happens to help them, then they live and pass it on to the next ones. The mutations that make the animal weaker, less able to get food or whatever, they die out, and so that genetic order passes away. That's the idea. And so through the millions and millions of years, these accidental mutations have generated evolution. Not so fast. Here's the facts. Mutations are the only known means by which new genetic material becomes available for evolution. So they have to look to mutations. Quote, ultimately, all variation is, of course, due to mutation, says one of the scientists, and I'll spare you all the documentation. The Wistar Institute Press says, although mutation is the ultimate source of all genetic variation, it is a relatively rare event. So why do they talk about the millions and millions of years? And here's the answer, because it's so unlikely to cause evolution that you just have to say, yeah, but given enough time, anything is possible. Well, that's hardly a scientific way of thinking, you know. I know it's weird, it doesn't make any sense, but give it enough time. This is not scientific thinking. This is trying to prove your point of view. So, here's the fact. Rarely, if ever, is a mutation beneficial to an organism in its natural environment. If you just think for a moment about have a bunch of computers in front of you, and just at random, you shoot a 22 bullet into each of the workings, how many computers will you shoot before it improves one of the computers? Wow, it became a supercomputer. See, this is what they're saying. But given enough time and enough computers and enough bullets, you know, this could just happen. But rarely, if ever, is it beneficial. Almost all observable mutations are harmful. Some are meaningless. They were doing this with fruit flies, which, you know, have a life cycle every day or something. And they found that there would be mutations. But sometimes the two pair of wings would have four pair of wings, which would interfere with each other. So it relatively harmless, but didn't help them at all. Some are meaningless. Many are lethal. The mutation is that only half a heart grows, and the embryo dies, you see. Here's the quote. The process of mutation is the only known source of the raw materials of genetic variability, and hence of evolution. The mutants which arise are, with rare exceptions, deleterious. It is bad to their carriers, at least in the environments which the species normally encounters. So their only hope usually hurts the one that got the mutation. That's Theodosius Dobzhansky on Methods of Evolutionary Biology and Anthropology. Quote, in molecular biology, down to the molecules, various kinds of mutations introduce the equivalent of noise pollution of the original instructive message. So you have a message how something is to be done. But while you're doing it, they're playing the music that they were playing over at MCL, where there's some woman screaming at the top of her lungs. Boy, this really helps my salad. You know, noise pollution. So, it says, the DNA is communicating how the being is to develop. It's communicating a message, an information message. The mutations obscure that, make it scrambled a bit. That's what he's saying. Communication theory goes to extraordinary lengths to prevent noise pollution of signals of all kinds. Within the DNA, there are duplicates and things that stop if something's going wrong. It's all built into the DNA, into the design. But so given that, given this long-standing struggle against noise contamination of meaningful algorithmic messages, it seems curious that the central paradigm of biology today attributes genomic messages themselves solely to noise. That it's the mutations, the interruption of the information that's driving their evolution. He says, this is like the opposite of the way things really are. All right, quote, accordingly, mutations are more than just sudden changes in heredity. They also affect viability, the ability of life to maintain itself. And so to the best of our knowledge, invariably affect it adversely. You have a delicate balance of allowing life to grow, bombard it with mutations, and you almost always, invariably, he says, it affects it badly. All right, mutation does not produce hereditary changes, but the massive evidence shows that all or almost all, no, mutation does produce hereditary changes. Okay, that's true. But the massive evidence shows that all or almost all known mutations are unmistakably pathological, disease-causing, messing you up. And the few remaining ones are highly suspect. It makes a change, but we don't know whether it's good or bad, not yet. Although mutations have produced some desirable breeds of animals and plants, all mutations seem to be in the nature of injuries that to some extent impair the fertility and viability, the ability to live on, of the affected organisms. I doubt if among the many thousands of known mutant viability of known mutant types, one can be found which is superior to the wild type in its normal environment. Only very few can be named which are superior to the wild type in strange environment. So, he says, if you have found one, it is very, very rare. Here's a quote. If we say that it is only by chance that the mutations, are useful, we are still speaking too leniently. That's saying it too nicely, he says. In general, they are useless, detrimental, or lethal. Introduction to the Origin of Species in Every Man's Library. All right. Visible mutations are easily detectable genetic changes, such as albinism, an albino, dwarfism, hemophilia, where your blood doesn't clot. Winchester quantifies the relative frequency of several types of mutations. Lethal mutations outnumber visibles by about 20 to 1 and just causes the being to die. Mutations that have small harmful effects, the detrimental mutations, are even more frequent than the lethal ones. So it doesn't kill, it just messes them up a bit. Another quote, I took a little trouble to find whether a single amino acid change in a hemoglobin mutation is known. They know of the different mutations, but it was any single one that didn't affect seriously the function of that hemoglobin. We're down to the basic blocks of life here. And he said he went through, they found evidence of mutations in these over and over again, but he couldn't find one that was not harmful. This is a guy looking desperately for mutation helpfulness. However, evolutionists have taught for years that hemoglobin alpha changed through mutations into hemoglobin beta. I don't even know what that means, but this would require, at a minimum, in other words, some developing. 120 point mutations to change from one to the next step in just that one little cell would take 120 mutations hitting just the right spots. In other words, The improbability Wald refers to above must be raised to the 120th power. Things times itself for 120 times to produce just this one protein, one tiny step. Even if we didn't, quote, if we didn't have a great deal of data on this point, we could still be quite sure on theoretical grounds that mutants would usually be detrimental. For a mutation is a random change of a highly organized, reasonably smoothly functioning living body. A random change in the highly integrated system of chemical processes which constitute life is almost certain to impair it, not improve it. Just as random interchange of connections in a television set is not likely to improve the picture. Well, who knows? Let's just connect it this way. That was James Crow in Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. The one systematic effect of mutation seems to be a tendency toward degeneration. Another quote says, Wright then concludes that other factors must also have been involved because he believes in evolution. So he says, okay, we have mutations, but something else has to be happening here. Something we don't know anything about. In discussing the many mutations needed to produce a new organ, Kessler says each mutation occurring alone would be wiped out before it could be combined with the others. They are all interdependent. The doctrine that their coming together was due to a series of blind coincidences is an affront not only to common sense, but to the basic principles of scientific explanation. In other words, you don't have any proof that this happened. Yes, but we just think it did. Oh, okay. So what? Can you have any proof? No, no proof. No known mutation has ever produced a form of life having greater complexity and viability, ability to live, than its ancestors. Quote, there is no single instance, this is just flat out, there is no single instance where it can be maintained that any of the mutants studied had a higher vitality than the mother species. Again, and this I put in bold to emphasize it, so imagine it in yellow on the screen. It is therefore absolutely impossible to build a current evolution on mutations or on recombinations. So the two things that are the hope so of all the evolutionists don't work. And these scientists understand that. No matter how numerous they may be, mutations do not produce any kind of evolution, says Pierre-Paul Grasset, Evolution of Living Organisms. These are in scientific books. Quote, I have seen no evidence whatsoever that these evolutionary changes can occur through the accumulation of gradual mutations. No evidence at all. And they were looking for it. It is true that nobody thus far has produced a new species or genus, etc., by macro mutation. So bombarding the fruit flies with the rays and so on, cosmic rays, mutates them, but doesn't produce a tiny wolf or something, you know. No new species, no genus. It is equally true, continuing the quote, that nobody has produced even a species by the selection of micro mutations. Even little tiny changes didn't change a species. Quote, if life really depends on each gene being as unique as it appears to be, then it is too unique to come into being by chance mutations. If life really depends on each of these genes being as unique as it appears to be, then you can't get that by chance mutation. Quote, do we therefore ever see mutations going about the business of producing new structures for selection to work on? No nascent birth organ has ever been observed emerging, though their origin in prefunctional form is basic to the evolutionary theory. Some should be visible today. We should see evolution happening, occurring in organisms at various stages up to integration of functional new system. We don't see any halfway animals. Neither observation nor controlled experiments has shown natural selection manipulating mutations so as to produce a new gene, a new hormone, a new enzyme system, or even a new organ. So the studies are in, and under the topic of mutations, there are such things, and they don't help. They don't improve. They don't turn the animal into a different animal, or bigger or better. Comments or questions? A lot of words. But all of that was to pick out all of those scientists who were studying that situation. And they say, no, you got to look someplace else. You can't find the answer here.